All right, Numbers chapter 11. You don't have to read there yet. You're not even going to have to read it yet. I'm going to talk to you first before you read. Some of you can't resist. You've already read it, but I want to, before you read, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to start my message, and I'm not going to preach to you long. I don't believe at all, but I want to talk to you about someone first. I want to talk to you about a fella, a friend of mine, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless today and help us, and I pray, God, you'd put your hand upon us as we speak the message this morning, Lord. I believe it's a life-changing, could be a message that could save someone's life. And God, I pray you give us ears to hear now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, it seemed like a lifetime ago, but probably about 10 or 12 years ago, had a man in the church named Raymond Dunlap. And Raymond said he had a friend that he wanted to bring to church. And one night he brought a fellow to church, about this tall, little fellow, about that big around, and had a smile from ear to ear. His name was Leslie Nelson, not the actor, he could have been Leslie Nelson. And I got to know Brother Nelson and talked to him, and him and his wife, and Grace was her name. And I'll just tell you a little bit about him. We were in the storefront building, and there was lots of places you couldn't park, and he had a big Cadillac, not a nice one, an old one. It didn't matter. It just loads it and drove. When he was in the war, in World War II, he drove a tank in the Third Army for General Patton. As he was driving one day, he said he wanted to see what it would be like to drive through one of those old abandoned houses, and he did, not knowing it had a basement in it, and he put his U.S. Army tank in the basement of the house. And another soldier were about 7 miles behind German lines, and through the night they fought their way back and won their way back. And I asked him, I said, well, why? A lot of those guys surrendered. I said, why didn't you? And he said, I didn't want to eat that German potato soup. And he told me one time about a hike they had, a 20-mile hike. And he said all the men, they slept overnight. And he said that when they went to sleep, he got up and crawled in the bushes and went to sleep. And as they were leaving to go, there was a Jeep come by, and he got in the back of the Jeep and jumped out before they got to the end. And when they were inspecting all their feet and seeing how they held up to the hike and to the march, and they said, well, Mr. Nelson, your feet look good. How did you do that? He said, well, I was raised tough. He said, I was raised in the hills, and he said, got tough feet. And he said, I can stand a lot of pressure. But this, I could go on and on and on and tell you things about him. But he started coming to church, and at the time, I think he was 83 when he started coming, 82, 83 years old. And he and I got to be friends. I enjoyed to go to visit with him. And I saw times when his health began to break up and go down. And I'd go visit him. He always the same, always a laugh. I mean, just from the time you leave to the time you get in his house, the time you leave, he's just a laugh a minute. I only ever saw one time. I went to his house and he was talking to me about his dad. His dad died, I believe, when he was 7 years old. And it had been 80-some years had passed since the death of his father. And his father died with ulcers in his stomach. And at that time, there was no treatment. It was excruciating pain. And he died. He held his dad while he died. And he began to talk to me about his dad 80-some years later. And he cried, big tears come down his eyes as he was talking about it, remembering his dad after all those years. But as far as he is concerned, I can give you this testimony about the man, Mr. Nelson. I used to call him General. He said he was a general nuisance. But I can give you this testimony about him. In all the sickness, in all the problems, in all the struggles, and all the difficulties that he endured, never one time did I ever hear him complain. Never once. Never once. I watched as his wife was in the nursing home, and he was going to visit her one day, and he tripped on the way in over a carpet and broke a bone in his body. Within days, he was in the hospital, and then he was in rehab, and he was in the nursing home with her. They shared a room together. And during that time, he dehydrated. His children were further away, and his kidney shut down. I went to see him in St. Francis Hospital, and I said, well, this is it. He's going to die. He told me. He said, I probably won't make it through the night. But he did. They put him in the hospital, in St. Francis Hospital. He was there for months. moved him all over the hospital. I had to ask every time. I don't know why they moved him so much. They moved him from room to room and bed to bed, and I'd go visit him, and he'd never complain. Family would come in, and some here and some there. And during that time while he was in the hospital, a family member of his wrote him off for dead, come in, put his dog to sleep, and moved his furniture, and emptied his house, and that bothered him. He never really complained about that. It bothered him that it happened. There was things he had that he wished he could have got back, but he never complained about it. He mentioned murder, but never complained. he said one time some fellas came by his house, and one of these scams, you know, you got to watch for that. And there's one going around now about something. I don't remember what it is, about giving the preacher money or something, but that's okay, you know. And his fellas come by and said, we'll do some concrete work for you. We was doing a job. You know how they go around the corner. We'll do this job for you. And so they did it, and they said, that'd be $3,000. I said, well, what'd you do? He said, I run them off. I said, did you have any trouble? He said, no, there's only three of them. But it's just always a joke, always a good time. And while he was there in the hospital, I went to see him one time, and he was good friends with my dad. Him and my dad got to be buddies, and He told me one time, he said, of all my life, he said, the only man I ever met that I liked him the first time I met him was your dad. And he'd come into church, and dad would stand at the door and greet him, and dad called him partner, I believe, or something, another partner. Hey, partner, how you doing? He'd come in, pat him on the back, and they'd talk. And I went to see him one time. He said, I saw your dad last night. I said, is that right? And dad had already died. And he said, yeah. He said they told me I died. He said, they told me they lost me. And he said, I was heading into heaven. And he said, your dad come out and met me and told me. He said, well, partner, he said, they ain't ready for you yet. They're sending you back for a little while longer. And he said, that's all I remember. And he told that story and believed with all of his heart. And I believe he knew what he was talking about. I believe he was earnest and sincere about it. And he did live for a while longer. When he got down sick. And he spent time in another nursing home. I'd go visit him there. Not as much as I wish, it's further up the river, and I'd go see him, and all the time I went there, I never heard him complain. Never, never heard him complain. He was getting kind of weary of life and weary of sickness. He loved his wife. He had been married twice. His first wife had died when he was in his 50s. She had had breast cancer. He married another lady, and he was married to her for over 40 years. And I'm not sure, probably he had over 70 years of marriage between the two. And during that time, I never heard him complain. His wife passed away, and he would talk to her. He would tell her goodnight every night. He would talk to his wife, Grace, and tell her goodnight. And even years after she was gone, he talked and talked about her and how much he loved her. But I never heard him complain. As he was getting sick, I asked him, I said, well, you reckon you're near the end? He said, I think I am. I said, what if you get up there again and Dad meets you at the door and tells you to come back? He said, I'm going to tell him to move out of the way. I'm done. I've had enough. I remember he got sick, and his air conditioner in his house went out. And I tried to do some things for him and tried to help him there. And Tony worked up there for him. Tony could tell you some stories about him, but he sat in his house there with the air conditioner off instead of doing telling us anything or letting us get it fixed, and he thought he could tough it out. It was 120 degrees in his house. He had a heat stroke in his 90s, and that hurt him. And from that, he ended up in his nursing home the second time. He come home. He wanted to come home. He had a chance to stay up there, but he wanted to come home and tough it out. He had no one really to take care of him. And in those last months, he got sick again, and they called him over to the hospital, and I went to see him, I believe, maybe on a Monday or a Tuesday night, and I'd been getting him this Amish potato soup, potato salad down here from the store. Also, they had the same thing at Walmart, but he thought it was authentic Amish potato soup or potato salad, and he liked it, and he told him, he'd been on me about getting some. I'd go see him, and I'd show up without it, and he said, boy, that sure is good potato soup you brought me, and it let me know that I hadn't brought it to him yet. And I went to see him that night on a Monday or a Tuesday, and he said, well, he said, and he was laughing, and he was shaking at the same time, and he was laughing. He said, well, he said, you can cancel that order of potato soup. I said, for now or forever. He said, I don't think I'll be needing it. And within 24 hours, he had a heart attack, and there in the hospital, and within just hours, days after that, he drew his last breath here on earth. And all of that, I never heard him complain. He told me one time that him and his cousin had loaded up. They lived in Raynell. Up there in a little town in Raynell, his mother had four boys in World War II at the same time. One time he said that his mom, and I saw pictures of her, she's a big lady, and some boys next door had made a jack-o'-lantern at Halloween and called her out and said, "Look here, Mrs. Nelson, we made a, made this is you, make it mocking her." She went and got her shotgun and shot it. He said the police showed up and said, "Well, what do we do about that?" And the police said, "Well, next time, Miss Nelson, just shoot them instead of their jack-o'-lantern." And that's the old days. That's the old ways. He said he was driving his truck one night and got pulled over. He was going a little too fast, and the police officer pulled him over and said, "You're speeding." And he said, "You're going 70. And he said, "Well, I thought I was going 75. He said, "We can argue about it." He said, "Or we can go up here and have a cup of coffee and forget about it." You know, these stories, they aren't true. But by the thing about it, I confirmed them with other people that knew him. And his stories were that they were true. And he was the real deal. There are very few people that you meet that are the real deal. And I had the occasion to know him, and he was the real deal. Chuck mentioned just a moment ago, and I debated about mentioning Brother Selby, but he was the real deal. He used to get up here and testify, Mr. Selby, and he would, in his last few days here on earth, there was a song he loved, "I Can't Even Walk Without Him Holding My Hand." And he would stand up here, and he would start over there, and he'd end up right here, and he'd say, "Well, I got bread on my table and shoes on my feet," and he said, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand." He loved that song, and that was kind of his dying testimony, I guess. But he never complained. I never heard him complain. Now, something about that, and it's amazing to me how a person can go through life. And then I run into so many people that every little thing is a cause for complaining. I mean, the least little things, people will complain. I'm not picking on young people, but it's definitely, because it's not just young people. But man, it seems like every next generation of Americans complains more than the generation before. I mean, somehow or another, we forget just how blessed we are and how good God has been to us. I mean, listen, hey, certainly America is probably not what it used to be, but can you imagine what it would be like? Have you ever stopped to consider what it would be like to live in some other countries? Haiti has recognized voodoo as a national religion in Haiti. And listen, and the wickedness in some of those places, in some of these foreign countries, the slave trade and the human sex trafficking and all the things that go on. But listen, we just had our friends here, the Maluchis, the missionaries from Bulgaria. And I've known other missionaries in Germany and other places. And they say it's unfit to take your children on the streets because they'll film wicked pornographic videos and films on the streets of the cities. And I know parts of America are turning that way. But thank God we still have some decency in America. There's still some morality in America. But yet there's so much complaining that I wonder, have we lost our minds that we can complain so much? You say, "But preacher, my health isn't good. And man, there's more pills and more pain pills." And there was a time when we didn't have all that stuff and folks just endured. I think just for a minute, Tony is over there and his mom was dying with cancer. If there ever was a candidate for complaining, and ever a lady that lived a difficult life and a hard life. Anytime I'd ever go to her house, I'd always get a bologna sandwich and 7-Up. I can't wait to get to heaven and have her fix me a bologna sandwich and a glass of 7-Up. You say, "Well, that won't be there." Well, whatever. If I get there, I won't care. But now I'm going to act like it's going to be there. But amen. But when she was dying, her body was racked with pain and cancer. And just had a few days to live. And they said, "Well, let's give you some morphine." And she said, I don't want to get on something like that. And she said, I don't want to get hooked on something. What she was saying was, she said, I've endured pain for these many years. I'll endure pain a little longer. And she never complained. Never heard her complain. Never heard her complain. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? I'm just a complainer. No big deal. Is it really not a big deal? I mean, is it really not a big deal that we complain and gripe and fuss all the time and never anything satisfies, never anything. I mean, maybe things are good for a little while, but after a while we begin to pick apart and tear down and find fault and find flaws, and we complain about this and complain about that. I don't think I'd ever make it in a restaurant business. Miss Billy worked for a long time as a waitress, you know, and I'm sure you heard some complaints. And I won't ask her to tell us about all of them. I don't want to get her mad down here, but I can imagine, you know, I watch people sometimes. I don't enjoy being around people that I'm complaining right now. I don't enjoy being around people that pick and complain and tear down everything. And sometimes you just got to take one and suffer through it and forget about it. Amen. I mean, there's always going to be a cause to complain. You say, preacher, I'm just a complainer. No big deal. Is it really not a big deal? Look what the Bible says, and I'm going to hurry. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. That's pretty simple, isn't it? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Say, preacher, why do you reckon is the cause of America's difficulties today? And you can pray out all your answers, and I know we preachers, we want to preach on this group and that group. Maybe the cause of America's problems today are when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Say, preacher, why is my home so difficult? And why is my life so difficult? And why isn't God blessing me? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. God sent a fire among the people because of they're complaining. The people of Egypt have been, the Hebrew children have been brought out of Egyptian captivity. If you remember the story, just before they were brought out, the Egyptians began to inflict terrible pain on them. They were murdering their babies, all the male babies. They were throwing them into the river. And God sent a deliverer. And when they got out into the wilderness and things got difficult, they forgot all that God had done for them, and they began to complain. And God was angry with their complaining. You know, I told you the story about Mr. Nelson. It's funny how dreams are. I don't dream very often. But last night, I went to sleep planning to preach this message. And I dreamed about Mr. Nelson. And in my dream, it was so real that when I woke up, I said, I'm going to call him and see if I can get him to come to church this morning. But then I remembered he was gone. Well, I tell you, I thank God for those who, there's something special about a person that can lay aside their problems and lay aside every little thing that works against them and just lay it all aside and say, you know what, I'm going to live every day and I'm just going to rejoice in what I have, and I'm not going to worry about what I don't have, and I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to gripe, I'm just going to be glad I'm alive. Glad God for what God's given me. But it'd be a wonderful thing if we just look around and see all the goodness that God's given us. You tell me this. Why in the world do any of us deserve to have a day as beautiful as this? There's nothing I've done, nothing you've done. I mean, what a beautiful day. You walk outside December 2nd, 2012, and all the wickedness, all the stuff that's going on. Yet God is so good that God will let the sun shine and pour down upon us a near 70-degree day where we can rejoice in the goodness of God. And why did any of us deserve to eat today? Why did any of us deserve the blessings of God? I mean, what did we do to earn a nice soft bed to sleep in? The thought caught me one time. I woke up and I was laying down one, and I thought, man, what a nice bed I have. And then I thought about the verse that Jesus didn't even have a pillow where to lay his head. And I just rolled over and I said, Lord, thank you so much, because I sure don't deserve to have something you never had. And yet I've had a bed every night of my life to sleep in. And God, how good you are. Let me give you four things, the cure for complaining. Number one is this: consider God, who is the creator of all things. Listen, the Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." All things were created by Him and for Him. Old Moses learned about complaining. He complained to God and said, "God, I'm not fit to do the job, and I'm not the man to do the job. God, my tongue is not, I lack eloquence." And God said to Moses, He said, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." There's a verse in Proverbs says, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth His maker." You know, listen, I'd 10,000 times rather be preaching to you this morning without a stuffed up nose and without whatever else, and I'm sure some of you wouldn't like, but hey, I'd just be glad to be here. Amen. Listen, hey, God doesn't need for me to complain about a little problem that I might have or a problem that we might have. Hey, if you're saved, we're going to a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, and there'll be no issues over there. But tell you what, you say, "Preacher, why do I have this struggle? God made it that way." You say, "Well, God wouldn't do that." Said He did. Said He made man's mouth. I have a friend in St. Louis, and I mentioned before, Daniel and Krista McCrillis. They're in their upstairs of their church is where they live, and downstairs and as the church, and have a little baby born with spinal bifida. Never heard him complain one time about her. Has a ventilator all the time. She could die at any moment. Never heard him complain. Have a little son with type 1 diabetes. Was diagnosed later on after he's about 5 or 6 years old. And that little boy, they got to check him every 30 minutes to be sure that he's okay. Never heard him complain. Never heard him complain. Neither he nor she. Never heard him complain one time about their situation. Hey, listen, whatever it is, God knows. God made it that way. We ought to rejoice in a God that's good enough to know what we can handle, what we can't handle. Number two, consider Eden before the curse. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, yet Christ died for us." Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Guess what? Eden was a perfect place. The Garden of Eden, y'all have heard of paradise, utopia. It was a perfect place. The climate was perfect. It was never too humid, never too hot, never too cold. God made it that way, and God intended for it to be that way. But guess what? Man sinned, and man brought a curse upon himself. Why should we complain against God when it was our race that fell? Our race that fell. Number two, consider Eden before the curse. Number three, consider the purpose of the cross. First of all, consider the person of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, He left heaven. He was born in a manger. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life. Yet He was taken and held trial before Pilate, the judge. And then they took Him out and they put a crown of thorns in His head. And they put a robe upon Him. They whipped Him with a thing called a cat of nine tails, tore the flesh from His body. They plucked the hair from His beard, and they tortured Him. They put a cloth over His face and began to beat Him. And they said, "Prophesy, tell us who is beating you. Who is it that's hitting you?" And Jesus, they put a crown, a thorn up on His head, and they put a cross on His back, and He carried that cross up Calvary's mountain, fell beneath the weight of the cross, yet He continued to walk alongside His cross as another carried it for Him. And He laid down on that cross as a lamb. He gave His life for us. And there He hung on the cross, and he looked at the ones that had crucified Him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Not one time did Jesus complain. That's one of the reasons why Pilate looked at Him and said, "I find no fault in Him," because He never complained. He never griped. One of the most spiritual things you'll ever do to be like Jesus is not complain. Just don't complain. Endure suffering as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure the suffering. Hey, listen, there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness. Amen. There's a better day coming. Hey, listen, in comparison to eternity, this light affliction seemed like nothing. Amen. He never complained. Consider the person of Calvary. Then the purpose of Calvary. Why did Jesus die on that cross? He died to take away our sin. You know, the problems we have today, it's not God's fault. It's not the politician's fault. I tell you, the problems we have today, they are the fault, listen, they are the fault of sin. And Jesus Christ died to undo the penalty of sin. You know what can fix your complaining today? What can fix the problems today? The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the children of Israel came to a place called Marah. They got to the waters of Marah, and they had not, for 3 days, they had not had a drink of water. 3 days. They got to Marah, and they got a drink of water, and they got down, and they were so thirsty. Can you imagine? Man, I'm thirsty right now. I can imagine a big gallon of water or something. They got down, and they took a big drink of water, and the water was bitter. I mean, salt, bitter water. And they spit it out, and they got angry. And they began to curse and complain against Moses. They spake of stoning him, the Bible says. Just down the road, a little ways further, was a place called Elam, a place where the water was sweet, but they weren't going to go any further. They were going to stop and complain. But what God did, he told Moses, he said, Moses, cut a tree down. And he said, cut the tree down and throw the tree into the water. And he said, when the tree is thrown into the bitter waters, the water will become sweet and they can drink it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Don't ever forget, though we all have cause to complain, if you'll throw the cross into the bitter waters of your life and consider that Jesus died for your sins, that he gave all, I promise you, if you'll take a look to Jesus, and I'm glad he's not on the cross, I'm glad he came off, amen? But if you'll look and you'll see him on that cross as he was, literally, and see that on that cross he died for our sins. And that cross where Jesus died, if we come to him as sinners, and we come to him as lost men and women, boys and girls, we come to him and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I've never been saved. I deserve the problems that I have. God, it's not your fault. It's my fault. It's my sin. God, you didn't make Adam and Eve sin in the garden. They sinned and that passed on to me. And God, I've sinned also. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I accept Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what? Though you still live in this sin-cursed body, if you get saved, you're going to a heaven where there's no complaining. You know why there'll be no complaining in heaven? Because there'll be no cause for complaining. You know why there'll be no cause? Because the curse will be gone. There'll be no pain there. There'll be no suffering there. Hey, listen, there'll be no heartaches there. There'll be no sadness there. There'll be no disappointments there. Why? Because the sin's curse is all lifted. It's all gone. I want you to consider the penalty of the curse. What's that, preacher? The penalty of the curse? You say, well, I thought that was my problems. No, the penalty of the curse is far worse than whatever problem you face right now. The penalty of the curse is a place called hell. The Bible says hell is a place where the worm dieth not. It says where the fire is not quenched. The Bible says that those that die and go to hell, they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And they'll spend all of eternity in the lake of fire. That's a terrible thought. Anybody have a cause to complain, it'd be those people, and they will be complaining. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. Now, they'll have a reason to complain, but there'll be no hope of release because they did not accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. You say, I'm just a complainer. Everybody knows it. You're just going to have to live with it. That's just me. That's my personality. I'm going to tell you what, God's angry with that right now. God's angry with it. And you wonder, you wonder why life is so hard and why the troubles are so many and why the burdens are so great and why the stress is so great. Why is the trials so many? Why is life so hard? Because God is not going to be moved to mercy by our complaining. Complaining angers God. And though you might have a cause, you think, to complain, what moves the heart of God is when we consider where our problems come from. They come from our sin. And Jesus died on the cross to make a way of blessing. And when we come to Christ, we come to Jesus, and we come as sinners, and we ask Him to save us, He lifts that sin burden. You're never going to know the blessings of God as a complainer. I really believe this morning that if we want to see the blessings of God in the year to come, we ought to come to the altar and lay down our complaining and say, God, no more. I repent, God, of my heart, my complaining, my griping. Lord, I always looked at it as just a little thing, but God, I see that it's a big thing in the eyes of God. And God, I'm just going to rejoice until the day I die. I'm just going to rejoice. And Lord, it be my will that never another person would ever hear another complaint come from my lips. The only thing come from my lips is going to be praise for God and His goodness. I invite you to come this morning. Bring your complaints. Don't feel bad. No one's going to look at you. We all at times are prone to failure in this area. But let's be honest with God. You want the blessings of God on your life? You're going to have to lay aside the complaining. If you're here and you've never been saved, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. If you reject Him, hell will be your home for eternity, but you can have a home in heaven. Let's all stand. Dear God, I pray You bless the invitation. God, help us this morning. God, give us ears to hear, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would respond to this invitation. Lord, if You speak to our heart, Lord, as You speak to us, dear God, as Your Holy Spirit draws us, I pray we'd be obedient. If you need to come, you come. Heavenly Father, bless. Amen. Sister Echo plays, you come. Hey, listen, let's be honest with God. Be the last verse. If you need to come, you come. Amen. All right. Well, let you go. You're going to be, I told you I wouldn't be long, and you're a little bit early. So, man, don't complain because you got out before noon now. I know none of you ever complain about them 12:05 or 12:10 sermons. Amen. At least you better not, because I don't want God to send fire on you on the way out the door. Amen. But listen, we need to curb our complaining. Not just curb, but we need to cut it off. You'd be amazed at how much better your life would be. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, listen, complaining is a curse. If y'all went to the doctor and they said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, you got AIDS. Well, you'd say, oh, no, what a terrible disease. And if they said, well, you got cancer, what a terrible disease. But yet you'll live day to day with the disease of complaining. And it rots your life, destroys your life. You never enjoy the sunshine. Every day's rain. As two fellas, you went to the same church. I'll tell you this, I'm done. Went to the same church. This one fella, every time every service, he'd testify and say, God, thank You. What a wonderful day. God's life's so good. I just want to thank You for everything You do for us. This other fella never testified, and he didn't understand why that guy was always so positive, optimistic. One day, a big rainstorm set in on that town. It rained for over a week. Everything was flooding. The people tromped the church in the mud and had their boots on and just come in the mud, and they sat down, just a handful of people, and sure enough, that guy, that skeptic was there, and that optimistic, praise the Lord guy was over there, and service got started, and the people kind of sang, you know, kind of half-hearted, and it's all just worn out, and that fella looked over, and he said, ain't no way that guy's going to stand up today and thank God for this. He said, if he does, I'll know he's a fake and a phony. That guy stood up, and he said, folks, he said, sure is wet outside. He said, I just want to thank God it don't rain this much all the time. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, listen, he said, you imagine if it's like this all the time. He said, thank God. He said, I guess this rain. He said, God knows what He's doing. He said, but I want to, he said, I'm just glad the sun's going to shine again someday. Amen. And well, listen, we ought to be able to find something positive about everything. Amen. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the fact there's a God in heaven that's displeased with our complaining. Big difference, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today. God, be with us. We go our way. Lord, I pray this little truth from Your Word, dear God, this little verse here in the Word of God from the book of Numbers would change our lives, dear God, change our attitude. And God, that some of us would just eliminate our complaining, never to be brought up again. God, I believe it would change our lives if we would do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.